And welcome to the Issues of Life radio show. You can be found online at issuesofliferadio.com. Joined with my honored guest in the studio. Well, I guess it's the same guys that show up every week.
has that big monitor always been there like that, or is that...
Yes.
No, it's new.
It's always been there.
I mean, if I'm slipping that bad,
we are having a... we're overhauling the studio.
Okay.
In case you hadn't noticed.
That has started.
And so John has had to move his big apple in here. The big apple moved in here, so in this on-air room, because we are creating a new on-air room. And we're excited about that, and hopefully in the near future, not too distant future, we'll have a completely new sound coming out of these microphones. And
I know, we'll actually sound good.
But that won't make us any better looking, will it?
Like I said the other day, we have, all three of us have the perfect faces for radio.
Well, I don't need to be any better looking. If I got any better looking, I'd be too prideful, probably. You know, but
goodness.
But I just was wondering, you know, what all the... I mean, because we're going to sound like...
Of course, where does humility enter into this conversation here? I think it's absent from so...
What's that song, It's Hard to Be Humble When You...
Never mind.
Some Kenny Rogers song. Here I am on the air talking about Kenny Rogers.
Oh, mercy.
On that note, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. It's good to have a good time. It's good to be here and laugh and joke. But there are some serious issues surrounding us today in our personal lives and as well as in society.
Yeah, that's a fact. And that's why we have this program, The Issues of Life, so we can try to provide a biblical perspective to everything that's going on. In fact, before we get into our actual discussion of family matters today, we need to talk about a serious matter that's coming up in our city council in the city of Milton in regards to alcohol. And you say, what's that got to do with family? Everything in the world?
Mm-hmm.
Probably, I don't know if there's any statistics ever been put together on this subject, but I would dare say that alcohol issues have a lot to do with divorce in our society.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, drugs and all the other things related to it, but alcohol is a very big problem.
And what you just said is a key phrase. There are things that are related to it.
Yeah.
Now that's not saying that all people who drink use drugs. But use other drugs, because alcohol is a drug,
right.
And we need to remember that. But in a lot of cases, alcohol is related to other things that are destructive to the family, destructive to a society, things that are immoral and unbiblical.
Yeah, and so tomorrow at 10 o'clock, Thursday at 10 o'clock in the morning, at the city council the city offices. The council room, there will be a meeting, open forum meeting. It's open to the public, and it is in relation to alcohol sales on Sunday. Now, we personally believe there ought not be any alcohol sales anytime.
Sure, that's right.
In the city of Milton, the county of Santa Rosa. This was a dry county for anybody that's here newly moved into the county. This used to be a dry county. In fact, it was one of the last bastions of an alcohol-free county in the state. I think it was one of the last three counties in the state that was dry, but that was voted out in a bogus vote, as far as I'm concerned. The first time in history that they made it a mail-in vote, used the excuse that people didn't want to go to church to have to go to the, because some of the polling some of the voting places were in churches. They didn't want to go in a church to vote about alcohol. Well,
and nobody ever thought that if you feel guilty about doing it in the church, you probably ought not be doing it.
Absolutely. If it's a problem in a church, it'll be a problem anywhere.
That didn't occur to anybody.
Yeah, I guess they missed that point. Yeah. But nonetheless, it's coming up again. It's just exactly as we stated back in the day when we were all fighting the issue to start with, getting the county to go wet. We told them once the door's open, and then it'll go from one step to another, to another, to another. Well, they have resisted this matter. Those who are for alcohol in the county have been pushing and pushing to try to get it for sales on Sunday. We have it. Fortunately, there's no sales on Sunday, but now it's coming up again. Came up a couple of years ago, and because of community pressure, they backed off, and now they're back around again. And so I would encourage our listeners, if you are able, at all able, to show up at the Milton City Council meeting quarters there at the city offices tomorrow at 10 o'clock and voice your opinion if you are not for alcohol sales in the city. And I would encourage you to do that. Let's do what we can to resist evil on every hand.
Now, as I understand it, when it came up before, our former mayor is the one that voted it down, was he not?
The tiebreaker.
It was a tiebreaker, yes, that is correct.
And he voted no.
That's correct.
Well, I wonder if our new mayor will do the same. Maybe it'd be good if he did.
Well, he voted for it when he was on the city council.
So. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew that. I was just trying to insinuate what he should do.
if he follows his historical precedent, he will vote for it. If it's a tiebreaker this time, it'll go the other way.
If he's listening, he needs to know what to do. You just call me. I'll open my Bible and tell you what you need to do. As far as this, I mean, I'm not right about everything, but the Word of God has some. It's not about me and what I think. The Word of God has some very specific verses about alcohol.
Yeah, absolutely. And but once you begin knocking down the barriers, you know, once you get one or two barriers down, then from then on it's just a matter of time. I'm certainly not saying Christians ought to stand against it all the time.
Yes, sir.
Any time, every time, all the way out until they voted in to do whatever they're going to do with it. We as believers, Bible-believing people, ought to stand for right all the time. To not do so is to become complicit in the evil that's perpetrated on us in our communities. So,
and the men of God in times past, the true men of God in times past, have always spoken out against the sins of the day that were permeating our society.
Yeah.
You know,
to sit quiet and, you know, we got this crazy idea that we're supposed to, as Christians, we're supposed to sit with our hands folded and we've got this crazy, dumb, stupid idea that the separation of church and states means that Christians aren't to have any kind of a voice in what goes on in the politics or, you know, whatsoever, which is ludicrous. It's never been that way. Until these last number of years, people have tried to interpret it that way, misinterpret it, I should say, and to such a degree that you keep Christian people, Bible-believing people, are kept out of politics. Should never be.
Well, it's now gotten to the point now where if you have a definitive stance on anything, pretty much, even in the church, if you have a definitive stance on any position, you're aggressive and you're not. You know, you don't care about people, and this is that we're taking a stand against this because we do care about people.
Absolutely.
As soon as they voted it in, not too long after that, there were two major deaths, and they had the billboard of those poor girls that were killed by a drunk driver. And I don't know if the billboard's still there or not, but that was right after.
Right.
They voted. We went with.
Right, and then the one on Alabama Street, where the woman was going 90 miles an hour. She had been stopped numerous times before for drunk driving. She was drunk, and she was going 90 miles an hour on a dead-end street.
Mm-hmm.
And when she got to the end of the street, she hit the curb and went airborne. I can't even imagine how this happened, but she went airborne and came down from the roof inside of a house and killed a teenager.
Laying in his bed watching a basketball game.
In his bed, yeah.
And don't forget about the one that hit Baghdad Elementary, because that's a dead-end street, too.
Yeah.
Ran right into Miss Childers' class.
Yeah.
So.
And see, the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil.
That's exactly right, yeah.
The love, not money. Somebody was
the love of it. Right.
Somebody was quoting it to me the other day and said money. I said, no, it's not money. You need money.
Absolutely.
I like to eat.
Yeah, there's all kind of good things you can buy with money.
The love of money is the root of all evil.
Yeah, and that really is the bottom line of wanting alcohol sales on Sunday, so they can have. And one of the primary reasons so they can have the downtown area weekends where they can have their, you know, everybody's out there drinking along the river and all that sort of thing. They want to get to more restaurants and hotels. I think it's a good thing to want to have restaurants and hotels and all that sort of thing on the river. But who says they have to? Who says that you have to have drunks walking around all over the place? You know, obnoxious action.
Now, this is not my original statement, but I will echo this statement. Why do you want to go to a restaurant where you got to get drunk to eat the food? I mean,
That is a good point.
Listen, alcohol, the consumption of alcohol, I believe the Bible bears it out. The consumption of alcohol is a sin, and there's other sins in the Bible that I've committed. But that's not, people say, well, you do this, you get on this, but you do this. That's not
right.
The issue.
That's right.
Christ died for all sins. We know that.
Right.
And we know that we are all sinners. We're talking about an issue that's going to make our immediate society, the people around us,
our community,
it's going to make our environment worse.
Exactly, that's right.
That's what we're talking about.
That's exactly what we're talking about. And it's a shame to me that there are people living in our community in the downtown area, and there are people who have moved here to Milton with an agenda.
Mm-hmm.
And there we have people in our community who came here from outside. Now, I moved here from New Orleans. Strange thing, I moved from New Orleans to the Milton area because I liked the wholesome environment that was here when I moved here in 1998. It was still dry at that time. I had been coming here to this area since 1978, and this was one of the nicest communities that I had visited, and I've been around and been in a lot of them. Is one of the nicest communities that I had visited at that point in time. So I moved here on purpose because of the wholesomeness of the environment here. But there's another element that have people that have moved into the downtown area, bought property, and I don't know this to be a fact, but I would imagine, I believe it's probably a true statement, have backing from certain organizations around the country, national organizations, and buying up property and that sort of thing to promote a specific agenda. That agenda includes the promotion of alcohol and the debauchery and degeneration of a society.
And what's scary is I'm not saying that everybody that votes for alcohol and I'm not saying they're all against the Bible or anything like that. I'm not saying they're trying to erase the Bible from society. But if you go high enough up the chain, if you go high enough up the ladder, some of these people that are the head of some of these organizations, they're doing these kind of things purposefully to try to erase any biblical impact on society.
Well, if you stand against certain lifestyles, for instance, if there are certain lifestyles that we stand against, then they really want to shut us up. And most of these groups that are going in this direction, they're not going to do it direct. They're not going to come in your face type thing. They will if necessary. But, I mean, they're going to use more subtle means through, again, getting laws changed. They come with an agenda. There are certain people who go to the city council meeting on a regular basis with a certain agenda, and now it's to the point that they have gotten their people elected into certain positions in the city and even in the county, and they're going to promote those as much as they can. And when you get to a point where it's on in a small rural community like we have here, and I say a small community, this was definitely and is still a good place to live. We don't want that to change. We don't want that to keep going down this path of degeneration.
And what disturbed me is I heard, and I'm not going to call any names because I don't know if it's true or not, but I heard that even some of the people that we promoted and voted for are considering voting this thing in.
Yeah.
Which is very disturbing to me.
Well, and what I was saying earlier, that once you start breaking those barriers down, then you get to a point of critical mass to where what's the difference if you sell it on Sunday or Monday? What's the difference? I'm not justifying it. I'm simply saying that becomes the thinking. We're already selling it. We're already committing. From my position, we're already sinning. So what's a little more going to hurt?
And they got to be making plenty of money since they've done this from a financial standpoint. Yeah. So why do they need this? Unless it's just simply to further erode biblical principles.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with it for certain. And this is something we ought to take a position on. We ought to, Bible believing people ought to stand up and be counted. If for no other reason, we ought to say, we ought to be able to say, hey, I took advantage of my privilege as a citizen to voice my opinion on this matter, to take a biblical stand on a certain position.
It's the Issues of Life radio show. Join in on our conversation. Area code 850-994-3747, or you can go to issuesofliferadio.com.
And we are back. Give us a call if you'd like at 994-3747. The area code is 850. Excuse me. Or you can reach us at issuesofliferadio.com. I got through it.
I made it. You made it. There you go. John took away our cheat sheet.
Yeah, so there's nothing up here, man. What? Oh, is this a test?
Yes.
It is. Over there. No, it's a different one.
The emergency alert system. Oh, this is only a test.
Well, it certainly is good to be with you today. I'm glad that we can be on the air discussing these important matters. And to us, they're very important. And we're not going to spend the whole hour on the alcohol situation, but we do want to emphasize that it's just a constant degradation, a constant deterioration of a moral society. And that's the thing, I guess, that bothers me more than anything. You know, I lived in New Orleans for a long time. I was there for about 20 years, and I live right in the downtown area, and so I was able to, unfortunately, able to see all kinds of debauchery. And the thing of it is, you know, you think, well, my debauchery doesn't affect anybody else. You cannot sin without it affecting somebody else. I like what somebody used to say that has passed on now, but they used to say, if you sin, if you're on a raft in the middle of the ocean and sin, it will affect somebody else somewhere. In maybe not that instant, but in that time, because of what it does to your character, it will affect others down the way.
Well, chances are you're not going to do it just once.
No, of
course.
That's
what I mean.
But it affects your character. Even if you didn't do it again, even if you just sinned once and did not ever do that particular sin again, it will have an effect on your character to such a way that it will have a negative effect elsewhere.
And Romans 14 says that no man liveth unto himself and no man dieth unto himself.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
You know, even if you don't buy into all the theological aspects of the Bible, you know, I don't see how you can even contemplate just the social content that's in Scripture. I don't see how you can even contemplate it and vote in liquor sales at all.
Yeah, exactly.
But particularly on Sunday.
Yeah, exactly.
You know.
You know, and that's it. Particularly on Sunday. I mean, it's hard enough to get people to come to church anyway and get them involved in spiritual matters. And this just is another step away from righteousness and causing people to seek the Lord. You know, you're not going to just stumble across the Lord one day. If you come to the Lord in salvation, it's going to be on purpose. And I say that, it's going to be because somebody took the effort to go and reach you with the gospel. I think we have a caller on the line. Yes. Caller, you're on the air.
Yes, this is Allison.
Hey, Allison, how are you today?
I'm all right. When I heard it on the news, they're going to try to sell alcohol on Sunday, I said, that's all we need.
Well, you're right about that, Allison.
They sell it every day of the week, but... But I said Sunday, why they got to do it on Sunday?
Yeah, that's my statement as well. Why they got to do it on Sunday?
Well, I said that's not right, because you're supposed to be going to church on Sunday.
There you go. If everybody were in church, they wouldn't need the stuff, would they?
No.
So, all right, Allison, we appreciate you calling.
Thank you so much, Allison.
You have a good day. Well, she's right. You know, why Sunday? Why Sunday? You know, they're not making enough money throughout the rest of the week, so why Sunday? I mean, you know, and of course, it's going to come back to the restaurant thing, you know, people want to drink with their meal and that type of thing.
And see, the average person, most people that work 40 hours a week and hold down a job, the average person in society, they would not walk into a church smelling like alcohol.
Right.
Most people would not do that.
Most people.
So if you're going to So if you're going to consume alcohol on Sunday, you have to make a choice not to go to church. I mean, maybe you go out to eat out. Maybe you go on Sunday morning and choose not to go on Sunday night or something. But what I'm saying is you can't anything that you are going to do that's going to make you uncomfortable going to church. Anything. It don't have to be anything.
Yeah, well, like voting for alcohol in a church. I mean, that ought to tell you something. It's the same thing. Same principle, you know. So, I guess the saddest thing about this whole situation for me is it's an evidence. It's a continual public evidence of our society moving in a wrong direction. And there'll come a time. And I'm not so certain that time is going to be that far off. There'll come a time to where, it'll be hard to recover from some of these things. You know, we won't be able to ever get back to what we had. Usually, when a community or a society loses a certain moral standard, they don't realize what they've lost till it's gone. And then once it's gone, it doesn't come back. You know, you just don't get back what you've lost.
Well, you know. I'm in a wheelchair, as most of our regular listeners know, and if I slide out of my chair, there's a certain. I mean, I'll be able to pull myself back into it, but if I slide past a certain point, I can't get back in the chair.
Right.
I'm going to the floor,
right?
And I'm going to have someone help me back into. I won't be. There'll be a point that I won't be able to do it on my own,
right?
Well, if you slide past a certain point, I'm not saying the situation's hopeless,
right?
You know, God is able. And by the way, it doesn't matter what the majority does. The people that look to God are always going to be taken care of.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean we won't go through hardships.
Yeah,
you know, but the people that God is going to honor. Now he may allow us to be taken home, you know, but God is going to honor always people that look to Him. Only 8 people got on the ark.
Yeah, well, and it's our responsibility. As believers, as Bible-believing people, it is our responsibility to represent God in this earth. You know, and representing God in this earth is upholding His Word. It is living by the standards set forth in the Word of God. And as you stated earlier, the Bible is extremely abundantly clear on the matter of alcohol and its use. I mean, you know, Proverbs describes it pretty clear.
It
says it's like sitting on the top of a mast, and you know, when you overcome your drunken hangover, you get up and go do it again.
He says, I'm gonna go do it again. I can't be hurt.
Yeah,
I'm gonna go do it again.
Yeah, and it's crazy, not to even look. I mean, how plain do you have to be to understand what it means when it says not to even look on the cup when it moveth itself aright? In other words, fermentation. Wine is fermenting.
And that's how we know that the wine mentioned in the New Testament was not fermented wine. It was another word for grape juice.
Right.
Because the Bible doesn't contradict itself.
No,
that's
right.
It's not going to say in one place, don't even look at it when it starts turning itself right or fermenting.
Yeah.
And in another place, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Paul's not going to tell Timothy to go get drunk.
Right. No, that's exactly right. Well, this is important matter, and we're gonna start changing gears here a little bit. Get back on our discussion of the past. Last week we were discussing family matters, but this is related to the family. And I want to encourage you to show up at City Hall tomorrow at 10 o'clock. Be there early. Get a seat. Hopefully the chamber will be full. Be over to the point of overflowing. And,
show up if you're going to vote against it.
Yeah.
If you're going to vote for it, don't come.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you're against this position, not only show up, but voice your opinion. You know, people of these city council members and people on the committee who are the part of the city council members, they need to hear your opinion. They need to know that not everybody is for this. You know, most of the immoral positions that have been taken in our country over the years have been taken because those who hold right positions don't speak up. You know, and that's just the facts. That politicians say all the time, we never hear from people from the other side, and they never hear from Christians. We are content to sit at home watching whatever you watch in the mornings or whatever you watch in whenever these things are going on TV, rather than getting up and getting out and getting involved in holding back wickedness in our society.
The only thing that's necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing.
And I'm afraid that's what's taking place more often than not in our country.
And if you look at society back, I mean, everybody talks about progress. If you look at us back in the early part of the 19th and 20th century, you know, the pioneer days from on up, you know, back when everybody in town went to church, you were considered unusual if you didn't go to church. You still had sin going on in private. You still had people doing what they were going to do. You've always had sins of the flesh.
Right.
But for the most part, society held to a certain biblical standard. Our laws were based on biblical principles.
Well, that's why this country was known around the world as a Christian nation. Our president recently said in the last two or three years has made statements that this is no longer a Christian nation. Well, he may be right in that statement, you know, but for at least two centuries, this country was known as a Christian nation. Now we're maybe a neo-pagan society, but it's only because Christians have dropped the ball.
But to progress away from that, if you were based on biblical principles, and now you're quote unquote progressing, that means you're having to leave, you're choosing to leave those biblical principles.
You're choosing.
Why can't we progress technologically as we have done? Why can't we progress scientifically as we have done? But leave in the biblical principles that we were built on. I mean, you got child psychologists bending over backwards trying to figure out why kids are the way they are. Well, just as I've said before, just as an experiment, put the Bible back in schools.
Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing else you've done has worked since you took it out.
Right, exactly.
So just to experimentally put it back in and see what happens.
Yeah, without question, absolutely. That would work. We know the Word of God works.
Instead of discussing all this progress stuff.
Yeah, it's proven over and over and over and over again to work. And it's amazing to me. It's always been amazing to me why that we know something that works and it works well, how we'll leave it behind for the lusts of the flesh. And that's really the bottom line, what it boils down to.
It's Issues of Life radio show right here on WTGF. Join in on the conversation. We need you to input your...
And we are back here on the Issues of Life radio program for the second half of our show. Give us a call at 850-994-3747, or you can send us your opinions, your comments, your questions at issuesofliferadio.com.
We're glad to have you with us today. Glad you tuned in. We've been discussing the matter of alcohol. The vote coming up soon, I guess. They're having a discussion on it at City Council Quarters tomorrow and Chambers, and we want you to show up, so we encourage you to do so. We're going to move on now from this alcohol situation to discussion more about family matters, and particularly related to finances. Finances being the second reason on the list of 10 reasons why people get divorced. The number one would be communication or the lack thereof, and number two would be financial matters. Best thing you can do for yourself, your family, your husband, and if your husband and wife situation, if you're always arguing about money, if it's a regular occurrence that you're arguing about money, you might need to sit down together and work out a budget, work out something to stop those arguments. It's not necessary. In fact, you ought to be able to handle it. You ought to be able to get away from it and straighten out those matters of finance.
Certainly. The way we do it in our house is what's mine is ours, and what's what's hers is hers. That's how.
I tell my wife on occasion that what's mine is mine, and what's yours is mine.
Yeah, that's an even better way to put it. I've got a good wife, and I have a wife who does not like to spend money.
Yeah.
You know, she really would rather not do it.
Well, I got a wife that's not just wouldn't like to spend money. She's tighter than skin on a grape.
she
you like that saying, ain't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, skin on a grape.
Of course, now she'll buy for the kids, but you know she don't buy much for herself, and she gets on me when I buy from me a whole lot. I hope she's not listening because she's on lunch right now. But no, we do. You know, when we first got married.
Well, I know for a fact you spend most of the money in your home.
Well, yeah.
You didn't have to say that, man. You didn't have to say that.
And I have never seen a financial statement from your household, but I know for a fact that you spend most of the money in your home.
Okay, let's get off me. Let's be.
Well, I'll say myself now. I spend more than my wife does. My wife just does not spend money. And I really need to let her handle the finances. If she handled the checkbook and all, and I hope she's not listening either, because she'll be wanting it when I get home.
You said I should be handling it. We just had to say certain things for the show.
No, people know that that's true, Paul.
I mean, we have to fill 25 more minutes. So
yeah, right.
But seriously, when we first got married, you know, there were some discussions like this. But I learned, usually when it comes to, my wife generally will have some pretty good ideas. When it comes to finances or anything really, but especially finances. I remember one time we got our income tax check and I was in there dreaming about all the stuff I was going to get. You know, I said I'll pay off one or two bills, but I was dreaming about all the stuff I was going to get. She walked in there and very kind of timidly she said if we could take our income tax check and pay our car off. And I mean, what are you going to say to that? You know, unless you're just a total idiot, what are you going to say to that? You know?
Are you sure?
And so the end of the story is we paid the car off and we had about enough to go out to eat. So we went to a nice restaurant. Maybe I can't remember the details, but I know we had enough to pay the car off and had a little bit left over. But that was good advice.
I can say this from 20 some odd years of marriage with my wife, and that there's been times that we have disagreed, and there have been times where I said, well, this is the way we're going to do it, and she'll fall in line and go along with it. Not necessarily quietly, but she'll go along with it. But the times that we have made the best financial decisions have always been those times where we agree together. And so I've learned over the years that if I'll just sit down and get her perspective, if I will just, we will discuss matters and give out all the details, gory details, bring them out on the table, discuss them, and then come to a reasonable decision. And she always, my wife will always, not necessarily, she will bring forth her opinion without hesitation, and she'll even argue her side. But when I say that this is it, this is the way we're going, she never says another word. And when it messes up, she doesn't rub it in. Now, she will remind me that she had a different opinion, but she doesn't rub it in.
Well, there's two verses that come to mind. In Proverbs 31, you know, the mother chapter, the chapter about wives and mothers,
mm-hmm.
it says that when it's listing what a good woman does, it says there that she buyeth the piece of land,
yeah.
or that she acquires about a piece of land, buys it and sells it.
Yeah.
Now the application can be made there that this idea that the woman shouldn't be involved in the finances.
No, that's crazy.
That's not based on that verse. You can make the application.
Absolutely.
That it should be decided together. And there's another verse in Proverbs that says, if a man troubles his own house,
yeah.
he reaps the whirlwind.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, what I take from that is make major decisions together. If you trouble your own house, it's going to come back on mm-hmm. you.
Yeah. Well, and see, it's arrogance. To me, it's just pure pride and arrogance for a man to think that the woman don't have enough sense to go around the block, and she's treated like a like that. She doesn't have enough sense to make those decisions. Not at all. Not even the slightest. And in fact, as I stated, and I do it so unashamedly, my wife has better judgment in a lot of areas than I do in some of these matters. She's my wife's languages. You know, we've talked about the life languages here and love languages. My wife's top two languages are doer and producer, and that producer language, a person who has that in their top category, that means that they are very good with finances, just naturally as a gift.
Well, Renita's a shopper. I'm a buyer. I mean, you know, but so that can get us in some trouble. One year we got income tax and we had everything paid off, and we discussed because I wanted a big screen TV. You know, I joked for years about wanting a big screen TV, but you know, we paid everything off, and she said, "Well, go get it." She said, "There's nothing wrong with you going to get one." And woo-hoo. I went and got one, and it took me about 20 minutes to buy that thing. I just went in there and saw, and I have hated that TV. From the moment I turned it in, from the moment I plugged it in, I've hated it. It'll the screen fades, it blinks, it'll just turn off in the middle of something, it'll just switch off. I have hated that TV, but man, if she would have done it, she would have been comparing prices for a week, and she would have been looking at this. And of course, John, that was way before years before I talked to you about the kind of specs I needed.
Right.
You know, I mean, I didn't know anything about that, so I just went and bought one.
Well, you know, that's why we're going to buy anything important, I turn the responsibility for that over to her.
Really?
Yeah, I do. She does the research. She will. I mean, even in a house, you know, if we're going to buy a house, I let her handle all that stuff, and then we sit down together and discuss what we're going to do because she's very, very capable, very adept at it. And I learned this early on, and it's unfortunate for some men that they're dumber than a duck, and you
takes
know
them a little while.
They don't take advantage of their wives' abilities in this area, you know, which if they would. If men would just take advantage of their wives' abilities and not try to keep them in a closet somewhere, they'd be a lot better off in every area of life. They'd be a lot better off financially, you know. And so, now, if you've got a wife that spends, that it's like opening a fire hydrant when it comes to, you know, spending, then you need to sit down and have some counseling sessions.
Them kind of wives, where if you don't spend at least $200 on shoes, she kind of gives you a look. You know, I mean that's
well. See that's those kind of things should have been checked out before you ever married him.
See, we had hours and hours and hours of conversation about how we were going to do it, and now we have hours of conversation about what I'm not doing. Usually when I'm trying to go to sleep. But you do have to discuss, you know, how you want your home to be and how you want to raise your kids, because you got to be of the same mind in all that stuff.
Absolutely, yeah, without question. And when it comes to finances, the key verse, here's a key verse on finances. And if you can get together and agree on this verse, and then put it into practice, you'll be much, much better off. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, that's in the Beatitudes, but if you can learn that principle and you can put that principle into play in every financial decision, you'll be 1,000 times better off.
And it's not that you can't have those other things, because after that verse, sometime after that verse, when he says, "Do ye not as the Gentiles?"
Right.
Well, the Gentiles, he's not saying you can't have food and raiment. He's not saying those
things. Correct.
What he's saying is the Gentiles, they were constantly occupied with fulfilling the lust of the flesh.
Right. That's what goes on in our society today.
It wasn't just about food and raiment and the basics, the creature comforts that you need.
Right.
Because God's not opposed to you having more than just the bare necessities.
Correct.
Based on Proverbs 3:9-10. But when he says do not as the Gentiles, and I'm paraphrasing, what he means is again that they were occupied totally with the lust and the excess of the flesh, and all you got to do is put that aside and seek God first, and you'll have all those other things.
Right. Well, you know, my wife and I are in the process of making some major financial decisions, and we were discussing it recently in regards to a purchase, or we're trying to sell an item in order to purchase another item. And we were discussing this matter, and of course we've gone back and forth and back and forth and back and forth with this thing because there's a lot of uncertainty involved. And so, I told her this recently. I said, "Well, here's what we're going to do. We're going to let the ministry, what our ministry dictates, will determine this particular purchase. We're going to concentrate on honoring the Lord and on our ministry, what He has us doing, and what He, if there's a change in the future, what He will have us doing, and we're not going to make it. We're going to make our decision related to God's choice and God's determination for us in ministry. Well, I believe that's a practical application of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. You, instead of seeking the thing that you want, the whatever it might be, a new car, new house, new whatever, instead of seeking a particular thing, you seek that thing, or you try to put things together in the wisest way possible in relation to what God would have you to do, what you feel like God would have you to do in serving Him.
Well, Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself in the Lord, and He'll give you the desires of your heart. And if you put the Lord first, you let Him decide what your desires are going to be.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. And it'll always come out right.
He will dictate what your desires are going to be, and you'll be okay with it.
Absolutely.
More about finances in just a second right here on the Issues of Life radio show.
Well, we're coming down to the wire. We'd appreciate your phone calls, 994-3747, area code 850. Or if you don't want to talk on the phone, you can send us your comments, your questions, your opinions at
issuesoflifradio.com.
I got almost to the end and just left me. issuesoflifradio.com.
We do want to hear from you, so give us a call or contact us online. We'd love to have you involved in our conversation today. And we're talking about finances, and this will probably be, we'll wrap it up today in regards to finances and continue on with family matters in another direction, perhaps next week. Or in the month of June, we're going to change directions a little bit, and we're going to deal with some very important matters. I'd like to take a few weeks and just deal with in great detail in the matter of salvation and some of the error that's propagated today. And not that we have all the answers, but the Bible's pretty clear on certain things, you know, and it's not ambiguous. There's nothing that we should be in doubt of. I mean, it ought to be clear. We ought to just accept it as it is. So anyway, we'll be talking about that in the near future. But for now, we're talking about family finances. And there's so many young couples in on the rocks of divorce. You know, I remember my sister years ago. She married right out of high school. Actually, she was still in high school when she married. And she they had to be like everybody else. They had to have everything everybody else said work 20 years for. And so they went out and got in debt, heavy debt, to buy furniture and a place to live and all this kind of stuff. And they didn't last very long. A couple of years is all they lasted. And that's happened more than once. That happens on a fairly regular basis. And the area of finances destroys a home. And well, so if you're fussing over finances, if you and your wife are going back and forth over finances, I encourage you, you know, and listen, so there's a lot of folks that could help. But I encourage you, the place to start is just to sit down, the two of you together, and, you know, let the kids get a babysitter perhaps, go out to dinner, whatever you need to do. Maybe you can't afford that. Maybe your financial problems are serious. But sit down together and make a plan. And if you're in debt, the first position is get out of debt. Do what you got to do to get out of debt.
Well, what we talked about when we first started discussing this topic, there are just some basic practical things you can do that any financial planner is going to give you some version of this. The first thing you need to do is cut the credit cards up. Mm. Second thing you need to do is don't make minimum payments. You know, if you can arrange your finances to make a payment per paycheck as opposed to a payment a month. If you can do that, you can do things like stop going out to eat. You can get rid of your cable. These are basic things you can do until you get afloat again. You know, if you want to have cable, there's nothing wrong with having cable, but you might have to get rid of it until you get that. You might have to get rid of some of the things that you don't have to have in order to get this stuff straight.
Yeah, the bottom line is live within your means.
Yes, sir.
Do not spend more than you make. Now that's. That you don't have to. John's got a master's degree in economics. You do not have to have a master's degree in economics.
Accounting.
I'm sorry.
What's the difference?
You,
Never mind. Don't tell me. We'll take a while to explain.
That'd
be a whole 3 hours.
Yeah. You don't have to have a master's degree in accounting to know that if you spend more than you make, you're going to be in financial trouble.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, if you made $1 million a week and you spent $1,001,000 a week, you're going to be in financial trouble, no matter how much you make.
A preacher told me, he said if your outgo is more than your income, then your upkeep will be your downfall.
That's exactly right.
That's what he used to say all the time. I was in a fellow's vehicle one time, and it was a nice vehicle. And he was telling me about all his financial troubles. And of course, I didn't have any money. You know, he was telling me about all his financial troubles. And as dumb as I was when it came to finances, I asked him a couple questions. I said, well, how much is this car costing you? He said, well, I pay $450 a month, and then I pay another $300 for insurance. I said, won't you take this vehicle back and get some kind of deal and get you an old Pinto for $300 or $400 and drive that around until you get your finances straight? He said, man, I can't do that.
Yeah.
And that was me talking. I mean, if I'm giving you financially, or at that point in my life, if I've got better financial sense than you do, you are in serious trouble.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, I remember the story of a lady, a young teenager that was, they were going into South Florida, and they stopped at these Christian family's home, and it was a nice home. You know, they had nice cars, nice home. And she noticed some things that just didn't seem right. You know, the hostess of the home seemed to be not interested in providing even food for them. You know, they were guests in the home, and she just was weird. It was a strange situation. But come to find out was that they were head over heels in debt. They could not even buy groceries for the week, and they had these guests in their home. Lived in a nice home, had nice cars, mm-hmm. but nobody, you know, that's all show. You never know what's going on the inside, the people that are head over heels in debt. So, and it wasn't the intention to talk about debt, just to completely about debt, but what debt reveals is people living for self and leaving God out of the picture.
Yes, well, we both know a missionary. His youngest son, when his youngest son got married, they lived in an old trailer, and the ceiling was sagging, and there was holes in the floor, and they fixed it up. But I mean, they just got married; they didn't have anything. He had a job at the plant where most everybody worked in that area, and they saved money, and they now live in a house that looks like something out of Better Homes and Gardens. It's all wood. And he and his father-in-law built it themselves. It's like a magazine house. But my point is, they didn't start out that way.
Correct. Yeah. They live small.
Saved their money,
yeah.
You know, and budgeted their money.
And for whatever reason, that's what most young couples just getting married, they seem to miss that part of it. They seem to miss that mom and dad has all these nice things, but they worked 20 mm-hmm. years to get these nice things.
And by the way, you know, when he worked 6 to 2 at his job. You know what he did when he got home? Went to work. Mm. He went to work doing other stuff. His older brother told me, he said the people that go to work and work a job, and they come home and do nothing, he said they're never going to have anything extra.
Yeah.
He said the people that have something extra, they get off work and go to work again. They cut firewood or mow grass or, you know, whatever they need to do, fix small engines, lawnmowers, that's what he did.
Yeah.
But he said the people that want to have something, what he's talking about is work ethic.
Yeah.
That's what he's talking about.
And the thing about it is today, most people want things handed to them.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, unfortunately, we live in such a society that you don't have to work. See, now to live, you don't have to work. You can go and get things. Our government has it set up to where welfare system, we have a welfare system that will give you the basics of life without having to work at all.
And see, then when they control you, when they control most of society by the nanny state philosophy, that's when they're going to take it all.
That's right.
But that's a whole other show. We've only got right. 5 minutes left.
Yeah, that definitely is a whole other show.
That's a whole other show. But there are basic things you can do, you know, because there's things you have to have in a home. You got to have lights and water and food. I mean, there's things you, but until you get out of debt, you might want to trim back. And these are things I know from our personal experience, because we've made mistakes financially. Everybody has.
Yeah.
But you can trim back some of this other stuff until you get your finances straight. But one of the biggest issues, you know, we've talked about a lot of things biblically speaking. One of the biggest issues, though, is if there are some things you're going to have before you can really get a hold of giving and tithing, or tithing and giving, I should say. There are some things you're going to have to do as far as honoring God before that, probably. I mean, a person who don't care anything about going to church probably is not going to care anything about a biblical giving perspective.
Yeah, more than likely.
I mean,
yeah.
So the key is to honor the Lord with your time and your money. If you get in a good church and allow the Lord to get a hold of you and show you some things, then a biblical perspective on giving and faithfulness will take care of itself.
Yeah, and then once you again, to whatever degree you're following biblical principles, to that degree you're going to receive the benefit of following those biblical
sure.
principles. You know, if you become faithful to the house of God, if you become faithful first of all, your employment. You know, there's a certain aspect of biblical principles that's applied on a job from a Christian standpoint, from a biblical standpoint. You know, doing what you do with all of your might, you know, being faithful, being on time, all of those things are involved. And those are all biblical principles. And then if you go beyond that, you become faithful to the house of God, you become faithful in your tithes and offerings, and then you begin to get the benefits of...
Yeah, at some point, giving will just be the next step.
Yeah.
You know, once you get in church and get excited about being in church and get excited about, you know, your conscience becomes... You're not looking over your shoulder. You're not having as much trouble in your marriage. You're enjoying the people of God, the things of God. You're enjoying life. And the giving aspect will just be one of those natural things. But another thing that you brought out is balance. You got to have balance. I know a fella who quit about every job he ever had in the time that I knew him, because some of those jobs didn't require him to be at all. Some of those jobs wouldn't allow him, that schedule would not allow him to be at all the church functions.
Yeah.
The Bible study and the meals and the, you know, and
right.
I mean, you ought to be faithful to church, but you got to work too.
Yeah,
because by
absolutely.
The way, that fella never had anything.
Right.
You know?
Well, and usually when there's situations like that, there's usually an underlying problem. You know, there's usually something of that
yeah.
nature that we we've talked about this before. But so many people use the Bible as an excuse rather than as a roadmap. You know,
yeah.
And want to blame God for every wrong thing taking place in their life and their devotion supposedly to the things of God.
Yeah, and if somebody like that is convinced that they don't have anything because they're paying a price for Jesus.
Yeah.
It's really hard to get them out of that mindset.
Yeah, that martyr complex.
It's really hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And be sure now, if you can, to be at the meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock. And Lord willing, we'll be with you at this same time again next week.
God bless you. It's been good to be with you. And again, I want to remind you, don't forget about the alcohol situation. And make your voice known. Take a stand. Take a position. And stand on a righteous position.